narration by George, present a stirring audiobook version of Anne Baxter Campbell's The Roman's Quest. We meet Centurion Julius, who has eyes for a young Jewish woman, Miriam. Miriam also has eyes for Julius, but a Roman is not who her father intends for her. Miriam is a pious Jewish girl, determined to do the right thing by her God and her parents, as she bows to her father's wishes to betroth her to a Jewish fisherman, James Ben Zebedee. Her heart yearns for the Roman, and his heart yearns for her, but their love is impossible. Miriam's mother lies close to death, and her last wish is to see her daughter wed. The marriage has to take place before it's too late. Woven through this story is the presence of a new prophet on the scene, a man called Jesus. We also meet some other Bible characters, James and John, as well as John the Baptist. Narrators George Taylor
and Patricia Proctor
bring this epic tale to life. Listen to this excerpt. As we begin, Julius has had a serious accident.
Miriam looked up at the approaching wagon. "Abba, that's Lucas." She picked up her cloak and ran. She peered into the wagon, and a low cry escaped her lips. "Oh, Lucas, is he..."
"No, Miriam, he isn't dead. He might be asleep or in a coma. I don't know right now. We're moving him to my house. Come, join us."
Miriam clambered into the back of the wagon. Her father climbed in behind her. Miriam sat by Julius's head, and Abba sat on the other side. Lucas set the wagon in motion.
"I'm sorry we didn't come to talk to you. There was nothing I could tell you yet. After that first night, he hasn't opened his eyes or spoken, although it appeared sometimes he might be awake. I decided to move him to my house, where it would be easier for me to take care of him until his superiors decide what should happen from here. His recovery could take a long time, months or years. Cyril will notify his father. Julius told me his mother died last year."
"Yes, he told me too." Miriam's eyes threatened to spill, but she held her tears in check. When they arrived at Lucas's home, Joanna and Quinta came out to meet them. This time, Lucas, Cyril, and Micah formed a living cradle with their arms to carry Julius into the house. They placed him in a bedchamber on an elbow-height bed. He stirred slightly as if moving into a more comfortable position.
"Julius, are you awake?"
Lucas patted him on the shoulder. A tight scowl and a tightening of the shut eyes was the only reply.
"Miriam, speak to him. Maybe you can reach him,"
Lucas urged. "Julius, please open your eyes. Please. I need to know that you will be all right." To her surprise, Julius opened one eye just a slit, then both eyes blinking, trying to focus.
"You aren't my mama. Who are you?"
She turned to Cyril. "What did he say? I don't understand the Roman language."
"I don't think he recognizes you. He's asking for his mother."
Cyril frowned. Miriam gave a low cry and turned away. "Adonai, where is my love?"
"Do you know who you are?"
Lucas asked him in Latin.
"Of course I know. I'm Julius Artorius Saturnius. Everybody knows that."
"How old are you?"
"I'm 8. Where's my mama? Mama will make my head stop hurting."
"Your mama isn't here. And you've had an accident. Your head hurts because a horse kicked you.
Can you make it feel better, like mama?"
He gazed at Miriam. It sounded so odd, hearing a child's lilt from a man with a baritone voice. Miriam wept, tears rolling unheeded down her cheeks. What should she do?
"Do you recognize me?"
Cyril asked. Julius scowled in concentration.
"You look like Cyril, only bigger."
"I am Cyril."
"But you're grown up. What happened?"
"We grew up, Julius. You did too."
Julius wrinkled his brow. He lowered his gaze to his arms and body, lifting one foot and then the other with surprise written on his face. Lucas stopped them.
He needs to rest now, Cyril. There will be more time to discuss things tomorrow. Lie back, Julius. I'm going to clean your wound. Then we're going to leave you alone. You need to sleep.
But I don't want to be alone. I want my mama.
I'll stay with him, Lucas. Miriam grasped Julius's hand. He looked up at her, and his eyes drifted shut.
I'd like to speak with you a moment, Miriam. Come out into the next room with me.
Lucas whispered, leading Miriam by the arm. Miriam joined him outside of the bedchamber.
Miriam, there is something you need to know.
He reached for her hand.
You are aware one of the horses kicked Julius in the head. Sometimes a severe blow like this can cause a person to lose the memory of the previous hours, days, years, or even their entire memory. That piece of his life might come back, or it might not. It appears as if Julius has lost about 15 years. If his memory or part of it does come back, it could be years before he is himself, or maybe never. Sometimes people are so changed that it is as though they were a different person altogether. They can become childish or cruel.
Miriam cringed. Do you mean that he might never remember me or that he loved me?
That's exactly what I mean. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but I don't want to build your hopes up only to see them crushed.
She stared in silence at the floor. After a few moments, she looked up at Lucas and pulled her shoulders back. I'll still stay with him. He's afraid to be alone. Lucas grasped her shoulders.
Miriam, you need to look at this logically. The man you loved might not return to you. He might never remember you. As he is, he could not be a husband to you. As he might become, he could be far worse, immobile or brutal. It would be better if you returned to the house of your father. If he returns to himself, we will tell you. Better yet, he could speak for himself. But I must warn you, child, I do not believe this will happen.
Will Julius recover? You'll have to listen to the book and Baxter Campbell's The Roman's Quest. It's available from narrationbygeorge.com.